It's good to meet with you on this Tuesday evening, and I trust that the Lord will be with us this evening, helping us in prayer and speaking to us from his word. I invite you to open your Bible with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. On Sunday morning, we're going to continue in our series Behind Closed Doors. And on Sunday, we're going to look at Jonah, shut up in the great fish. The title will be Out of the Depths, that prayer, Out of the Depths. But today, we're going to see Jonah shut up to himself. So let's turn to Jonah chapter 4 and reading the whole chapter. It's a sad chapter. We see a man shut up to himself, wallowing in self-pity, but the Lord dealing in grace and mercy with him. Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Our Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned, the next day God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant, for which you have not laboured, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Eternal and ever blessed God, we are in your presence and we are before your holy word. We ask that the word of God would speak to each one of us this evening. Pray that the word of God, Lord, would penetrate our thoughts, that you would test our attitudes, and Father, that we would indeed know dealings with you. Father, draw us out after yourself this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brother, the title is Jonah, Shut Up to Himself. Brothers and sisters, we're sadly going to look at a man who's sulking, who's angry, and is even suicidal, even after God has delivered him from the great fish, even after he's been used as an instrument in a mighty revival. Here he is, sitting outside of the city, under a shelter, wondering what would happen, hoping that perhaps God will bring judgment upon it. Now, Jonah, the book of Jonah, was written for a number of reasons. There's that incidental incident in chapter 1 where the mariners are brought to faith. The way it's written, it's almost incidental. Jonah is thrown overboard, the waters are calmed, and they offer sacrifices to the living God. The mariners are brought to faith, God's goodness to them, even through Jonah's disobedience. There's another lesson. You just cannot escape from God. If you're his child, if you're his servant, you may try to run from God, but it's impossible. Then there's other lessons. God is a God of mercy. He gives Jonah a second chance. Even though he'd walked away from his plan and his will, God rescued him, delivered him, and gave him a second chance to preach in Nineveh. But above all, one of the biggest lessons is this: mercy shown to wicked people. A violent city, that great metropolis, Nineveh, was shown the loving kindness of God. They repented, from the king to the pauper, and they were rescued from wrath. But perhaps one of the main reasons that Jonah is written is in order that we would understand not only the need for a right view of God, for a right understanding of his character, of his justice, of his holiness, but also his love and his mercy. Not only that we would have a right understanding of God, but we would understand the implications of that in this world, and we would accept his sovereign purposes and his sovereign will. Jonah had a right view of God, but he wrestled with how the character of God affected the world in which he was living. He failed sadly to accept God for who he was, because God didn't just fit into his paradigm. He expected God to act in a certain way, but God acted in the opposite way. So the book of Jonah is principally about God, his character, and do we accept him and his will? Now, I would suggest that Jonah had a very strong sense of justice. He was from an Eastern culture, and he had a strong concept of punishment. He believed rightly that all evil and wickedness should be punished. Nineveh was the foremost city, the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians were known for their brutality and barbarous ways. Nations feared the Assyrians. The Assyrians would burn or impale its victims alive, and they boasted of their cruelty. In the book of Nahum, chapter 3, verse 1, Nineveh is described as that city of blood. Now, Jonah had righteous anger, righteous indignation at such wickedness. Nineveh was like the modern day IS movement. However, he failed to accept that God could be merciful to them. When he was commanded to go to preach to them, he refused, he fled. And when eventually he went and he preached a message of pending judgment, and these people repented from the greatest to the least, and God relented from judging them, God showed mercy, Jonah was angry. He wanted to die. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." What an awful state to be in. No pity, no compassion, no love. And so the Lord challenges him, verse 4. Is it right for you to be angry? So as we look at this passage this evening, it's a call for you and I to guard our hearts, to ask questions about ourselves. What lies within our hearts? Is there prejudice? Is there simmering anger? Is there self-pity? Is there dissatisfaction? Is there ingratitude? Is there pride? You see, all these sins are in the heart of Jonah. And God begins to prize his heart open with a series of questions. Jonah is shut up to himself and his self-pity, but God will not leave him there. And the fact that Jonah records his story surely shows to us that in the end, God worked in his heart. Yes, chapter 4, verse 11 leaves us with a question mark. What did happen to Jonah? How did he respond in the end? But surely the fact that he's written this book for us shows that he learnt the lessons. So let's briefly consider, first of all, resentment that builds, and then secondly, the reflection that's necessary. So let's look at this resentful heart. Though Jonah had pity upon those idolatrous mariners, do you remember he said, "Throw me overboard and the sea will be calm"? He was concerned for them. He had no pity for the Ninevites. He resented them. Perhaps he'd been fearful when God had said to go and preach to this violent people. But the real reason he did not want to go and see their faces was because he was bitterly opposed to them. He could not stomach the fact that God could show mercy to such a wicked people. Now it was right for him to be outraged at their wickedness, but it was wrong to write these people off. It was wrong to be prejudiced towards them and to judge them and assume that they had gone too far. Jonah felt that his verdict was the only one that mattered, and God had to show Jonah that his verdict, his will, was the one that Jonah should accept. Jonah had lost sight of God's grace and his mercy and his kindness as being the dominant attribute of God. You see, in the Bible, we do not only read that God is angry, but we read that God is love. God is never described as anger. God is described as someone who is angry and someone who is holy. But above all, the Bible reminds us that God is love. And so though he punishes men and women for sin, he takes no pleasure in it. Jonah had lost sight of that. Jonah also had lost sight of God's goodness and his grace to him personally and to the nation of Israel. It was only God's mercy and his patience and his loving kindness that had made Jonah, the prophet, and the people of Israel any different from any other person or nation upon the face of the earth. Jonah had lost sight that he was what he was by God's grace, and Israel was what she was only by the sheer mercy and goodness of God. His mind was taken up only with the justice and holiness of God, and he seemed to push out the thought of God's love and mercy from his mind. He knew God was merciful, but he didn't want to accept it. And so in verse 5, when God says to him, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah simply goes outside of the city on the east side, makes a shelter of himself and sulks, wondering what will become of that city. Now, brothers and sisters, it's possible for us to be in the same situation. We can let resentment build up in our hearts towards certain people or certain individuals. And when that happens, we are forgetting that it's only God's love and his grace and his mercy that's changed us. And we're forgetting that we don't deserve anything of the love of God. That can happen to us. We also can be those who do not accept God's sovereignty in all situations. Jonah believed in a sovereign God, but didn't accept God's sovereignty, that God had ordained that these people should repent and that they would be spared. For example, we may not accept the people that God has ordained to lead us in government. We may not accept the people that God has ordained in our workplace to rule over us, or in school or in church, and resentment can build up in our hearts. We accept in our minds the doctrine of God's sovereignty, but in the nitty-gritties of life, there's dissatisfaction at the way in which things have worked out. There's unease, maybe simmering anger towards others. That was the case with the Israelites when things didn't go well for them in the wilderness, when there was no bread, when there was no meat, when there was no water, when they felt that Moses didn't act as he should have acted. They murmured and they complained. Yes, Yahweh was sovereign Lord, but they didn't accept his sovereignty in their circumstances. So here's a test for you. You're unhappy with somebody. Perhaps that person has hurt you. You've brought it to God. You've prayed about it. But how do you react when that person who has hurt you is blessed in some way or another? How did Jonah react when that whole city was blessed by God, God averting his judgment? He was angry. You see, it's easy to let resentment build up in your heart prejudice towards individuals or groups, particularly when these people are different from us. How we need to guard our hearts. Oh, that we would revel in the cross of Christ. Oh, that we would come back to the love and mercy of God shown at the cross of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. May it be our one desire to see men and women, undeserving sinners, come under the blood of Christ. May we not be taken up with our views and our sense of injustice and our self-pity for how things have worked out, but rather may selfless love rule in our hearts. So we've considered the resentment that builds. It had built up over years in Jonah's heart, and he hadn't yet dealt with it. And so God is asking him a series of questions in chapter 4. Is it right for you to be angry? And so forth, in order to prise open that heart. But secondly, the reflection that's necessary. Sometimes God does something to us when our hearts are not right. In order to make us reflect, sometimes he can give us something and take something away from us. And we're asked to ask the question, but he gave, he took it away. Why am I so concerned about that thing that he's taken away? What is that saying about the state of my heart? That's what God was doing with Jonah. God prepared a plant for him. It gave him shade from the sun. How grateful he was. But then God prepared a worm early in the morning, and it gnawed away that plant and took away his shade. God then prepared an east wind, and the burning hot sun, and that wind was so great that he fainted. We read this in verse 8. It happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Isn't that sad? One minute he's very thankful for the plant, and the next minute, that which he never had 2 days ago, but because it's been taken from him, brings him to a position again of wanting to die. And God says to him in verse 9, "Is it right for you to be angry about that plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." And so the Lord, he asks one more question. And this last question is really causing Jonah to think about what really matters in life. Is it his own comfort? Or is it the comfort of many other people? Has he had more pity just on a little plant being given to him and then taken from him? More pity upon that plant than 120,000 people who cannot discern their right hand from their left hand? Look what the Lord says, verse 10. The Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not laboured, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. It was a gift to you. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Jonah was being asked to deeply reflect. Was it all about him? Was it all about his agenda, his views, his critical assessment, his judgment of those people and what they deserved? Or was it all about God, his agenda, how he saw things, his will, his pleasure? Perhaps at this time of lockdown, we are caused to reflect. We're called to ask questions about our own comforts. Does it matter if I can't buy that now? Or if I can't do that thing today? Or I can't go out next week and do what I used to do? How important have these things become to me? And how concerned am I actually about other people? Is it all about me? What about the Bangladeshis? Perhaps hundreds of thousands facing starvation because the West is no longer buying their products. What about the people of Ecuador with such poor health care? The people were piling bodies up in the streets who contracted coronavirus and died. What do I complain about? Do I complain about my lot? Am I self-absorbed? Is it about my life? Or is it about God and his purposes for the world? How did you feel when Howard sent that little email through today? How did you react to it, the challenge to use your money at this time to benefit missionaries, to benefit the world, to benefit the suffering church? What are your attitudes like? And what are your attitudes like with those whom you struggle with? Is there scorn in your heart? Is there a lack of patience? Do you judge them? Or do you pity? Or do you show love? Jonah didn't see the whole picture. He judged these people on the basis of what he could see, but God saw them. God knew that they didn't know their right hand from their left hand. They were ignorant people, ignorant of God, ignorant of his ways, grown up in wickedness, practicing wickedness, yes, inexcusable. But God, in his amazing grace, wanted to spare them. God was dealing with Jonah. He was asking him to reflect upon his life, upon his prejudices, upon his anger, upon his judgmentalism. God was giving and then taking away to ask what were the priorities in his life, what were the things that really mattered, his own comfort or other human beings. May God at this time of lockdown truly deal with each one of us. We're going to sing before we pray together, number 748 in Christian hymns. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. That's our desire, to grow and to be like the Lord. And then the writer says this: I hope that in some favoured hour, at once he'd answer my request and by his love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. I wanted God to do it quickly, in an easy way. But this is what John Newton says: instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yes, more with his own hand he seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Will you pursue your worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set you free and break your schemes of earthly joy, that you may seek your all in me. God was being gracious to Jonah. God delivered him from the great fish. And through these series of questions, and through that event of giving that plant and taking it away, God was causing Jonah to reflect upon the state of his heart, to come to repentance, and to really know his God and love him for who he was. May we accept all that comes our way, and may all that happens to us in life be part of God's good providence to make us more like Christ. May God be with each one of you and bless this word to your hearts. Shall we pray? Loving and eternal God in heaven, we bless you and thank you one more time for your word. Father, we are conscious that at times resentment is in our hearts towards individuals or peoples. We can so easily have prejudice towards people of other nations. And Lord, we pray that you would pity us, have mercy upon us, and may we reflect much upon your love in Christ Jesus, much upon the cross, much upon your goodness to us, and may love reign in our hearts for all peoples. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.